He told me not to tell it. He said that's a Cornfield County joke. Well, I got a backup one anyway. I heard, newsflash, I heard somebody broke into a chicken house on Possum Track Road last night and stole someone's prize-winning setting hen. They don't have any leads, but inspectors do suspect foul play. I'll quit while I'm behind. Get your Bibles out. Stand for the reading of the Word, Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. I got two announcements to make, and I got in the children's church. Hold, I've lost one of my announcements one place, and one of them over here. This is on the board, but just in case you didn't see it. I can tell you, I know none of y'all ever done this, but we can put an announcement up here, we can read it from here, and put it back there, and somebody say, still nobody told me. Sometimes we need to get the ushers to walk down and personally tell each person. You know what I'm saying? I'm guilty too, amen. I'll be up here trying to get something straight during prayer requests and don't even hear it. And I'm guilty, praise God. All right. Sierra Bonner graduated, we know that. We'll come help her celebrate Saturday, July 18th, 2 to 4, at Ever Christian Church Fellowship Hall. And that's on July 18th. And here goes the big surprise. We need you out here on August 1st to help give the bride away. All of us are going to give the bride away. Brenda Dixon and Brian Bonner, Sr. Whoa, whoa. Brenda Bonner. Wow, ain't that cool? So we're going to have a graduation service for Sierra Bonner and a marriage giveaway for Brenda Bonner. Amen. That'll be hard to get used to. Amen. Request, okay, Brenda Dixon and Brian Bonner Sr. request the pleasure of your company as they unite in marriage Saturday, August 1st, 2015 at 3 o'clock at Ever Christian Church. And of course, y'all know the address, and she says, no gifts, please. Amen. At her age, she's got everything she needs. And okay, and all ladies at church need to meet right after service. Amen. Well, come on down here. On down here amongst all y'all folks. But nah, no stool today. All right, y'all get your stand up, get your books to turn to Acts chapter 4. God is awesome all the time. Amen. What happened to the rest of it? Is that? Don't tell me that's the wrong one again. It's my fault if it is. Where's the PowerPoint? I mean, where's the background? Let me see. Hold on, y'all. Technical difficulty. It's my fault, I think. It's not her fault at all. Y'all heard that. It's not her fault at all. She's innocent this time. I mean, she's innocent. It's just not coming up. Well, how about that? It's not coming up. Okay. All right. Now she can fix whatever happened. I don't know what happened, but something did. Amen. How many has ever had a time in your life when you just said all hell broke loose? Amen. How many parents ever said that? How many people on their job ever said that? How many of you trying to serve God wind up saying that? Amen. Well, we're going to talk about that, and it's okay if you can't get it to fix it. It'll be fine. All right, get your Bibles out to Acts chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Now, last week we talked about them healing the blind man. It was right after Pentecost. Not blind man, but the lame man. It was right after Pentecost. And immediately after Pentecost came, there may be too many PowerPoints. So. Okay. I know. Stand out of the way. Quit helping me. I'm sorry. I've been working on stuff all weekend. I feel like I can't stop. Amen. You just kill all that stuff. Okay. Amen. Have you ever had one of those times where your air conditioner breaks? So you got no cold air. Your hot water heater breaks. You got no hot water. We had hot water. Amen. It was just too hot. Amen. I think about that dog. I mean, that song with Andy Griffith, Honey, Let Me Be Your Scalded Dog. Okay. Well, I know. Preaching, forget the joke telling. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. Through the power of God and through the anointing of God and the Holy Ghost, they just healed the lame man at the gate called Beautiful. And you can believe that Satan is not, there you go, Satan is not going to enjoy the popularity that Jesus is getting ready to get. The Sadducees are in control. They took turns. The Sadducees were in control for one period, and the Pharisees were in control for the next period. The Pharisees believed in life after death. They believed in angels. They believed that there was an afterlife. But the Sadducees were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in that. They were the liberals of that day. They believed that live it up now, because once you're gone, you're gone. Amen? I know some folks like that, don't y'all? Okay, so here we go. And as they spake unto the people, they're preaching a sermon after the man at the gate called Beautiful was healed. They're preaching a sermon, and as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now see, they're already ruffling feathers. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them who heard the word believed, and the number of the men were about 5,000. So now, you got 8,000 people saved in just a matter of 2 days. Can you imagine? A revival, 3,000, and then 5,000. Wow. So, and it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John and Alexander, and as many were the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means is he made whole, be it known unto all of you and to all the people of Israel that the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here whole before you. This is the stone that was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Now neither is there salvation of any other, for neither is there any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, they marveled and took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. And behold, the man which healed standing with them, they could not say anything. But when they had commanded them to go out aside of the council, they conferred amongst themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle had been done by them, and is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth no man in his name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than the Supreme Court, God. Whether it be more hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they could punish them because of the people. For all the men glorified God for that which was done. For this man was above 40 years old, on whom the miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your anointing. God, you're an awesome God. You are a powerful God. There is absolutely nothing that you cannot do. I ask you right now to touch us, Lord, to help us, Father, to know that you're in total control. And Father, let's not be afraid of what's coming our way, Lord, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And you already told us that this day was coming, and it's here among us now. I ask you, Lord, right now, Father, with a new boldness and a new freshness and a fresh anointing and a fresh feeling, let us stand to meet the challenge that is set before us in the name of Jesus. We pray, and the church said, on the way down, here's what I want you to do. Say this: this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Do that. Okay. Some of y'all need to let your face know that you're going to rejoice. Okay. Many times, In our Christian walk, people are threatened by crisis. There's crises of all kinds of things coming at us, but I can tell you what, many times those crises are sparked by the devil. He's doing everything he can to keep you wound up in knots, to keep you bent out of shape, to keep your mind off of what we are supposed to do. He's keeping our mind off the main thing, and he's got us worried about a whole bunch of little petty things. And it's in these times that we tempted to run or play dead or even give in without a fight. That's what he wants us to do. God never meant for his children to be so overwhelmed with discouragement, so overwhelmed with problems, so overwhelmed with the things, the tragedies around them, that they cannot function. Instead, God wants us to stand strong, especially now. God wants us and needs us to stand strong. So now, what do you do when all hell breaks loose? What do you do when the enemy starts to not just kind of give you a little bit of heat, he pours the heat on? See that sign, welcome to hell? How many felt like you got up a couple of mornings ago and saw that sign? How many felt like you saw it this morning? Amen. Welcome to hell. You know what? I told Linda what the name of this was. She thought I was going to be talking about it, and it makes sense because I'm going to talk some more about it later on, maybe the next couple of weeks. But I'll talk about it as it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And as it gets deeper, the heat really gets turned on. When all hell broke loose, watch this, the timing of it. It was after the move of God. Matter of fact, it was the first move of God after Pentecost. Pentecost itself was a move of God. But that already had the guys riled up, all the religious group. They're already riled up because they're getting in there and they're seeing what's happening with this 120. But now they see that people are being healed. And so it happens right after the move of God to stop another move of God. You say, well, I was having such a fun time last week. God was so real. Man, it was awesome. And now I feel like I don't even know him. Guess what? He's trying to stop the constant move of God in your life. God wants to move in our life every day. It might not be a miracle that the lame man lifted up at the gate called beautiful every day, but you know what? Sometimes just getting up, getting in my car, and going somewhere is a miracle. Sometimes just getting up in the morning. I heard yesterday there was a lady that worked at Family Dollar Store, and she used to love to hear the praise team. So I'd go in there sometimes, I'd show her the praise team, and she said, wow, that is so awesome. I went in there yesterday actually just to go try to find something else, and the manager came over to me. And she said, you remember that lady that used to love to hear y'all's praise team? I said, yeah. she said she was 53. I said, well, I knew that she had some age on her, but not that much. I'm 55, y'all. I'm playing. And she's 53. Some of us are 33. There's two 33s. But they told me just a couple weeks ago she was feeling kind of bad. So when she went to bed, she told her husband he got up at 4 o'clock to take a bath to go to work at 4:30. When he woke up, he asked her how was she doing. She said she feels a little better, but she still felt kind of bad in her chest. He went to take a shower. When he came back in, she was dead. Had a massive heart attack right there in the bed. You know, there's so much stuff going on around us. It just boggles our mind. But Satan, remember, sometimes just to get up, to look in the mirror, to brush your teeth, and to go to work is a miracle of God. Amen? And by the fact, you know, me and DC were talking, we'd heard a guy, both of us heard the guy say, if you're complaining about that truck you're driving, guess how many people just love to have a truck? If you're complaining about your spouse, guess how many people would love to be with your spouse? Oh, come on, y'all, we're being real here. You hate your job. Guess how many people don't have a job would love to have your job? Amen? So stop complaining and start thanking God for the miracle, the move of God in our life every day. Amen? He wants to stop it. And so he pours the heat on. The target is God's people. You know why it's God's people and not God? Because he knows God's too powerful. He cannot hit God. So he's got to go at the weakest link. Guess who the weakest link is? Y'all do that. Don't point at the person beside you. Take your finger away. Look at this. Do you know when it comes to the move of God in my life, I'm the weakest link? I can point at everybody else. I can accuse everybody else. But I am the weakest link. And so he knows that. He also knows that around me every day, I'm in a bunch of people, not talking about y'all now, I'm talking about outside of here, that don't necessarily believe in God or want to harm people. You know, there's several kinds of people. There's the Christians. They believe in Christ, and there's different variations of them. Some Christians really want to do all they can to love God and do what they can for Him. Then there's the Christians that kind of want to sit on the front porch and swing and pray that the devil, if he does come by, he keeps on going by because you don't want to do anything anyway. I know there's nobody in here like that. And then there's the non-Christian. The non-Christian, they just don't know Christ. Don't care. They just don't care. Then there's the anti-Christian. The anti-Christian is the person that's out to harm you any way they can. On your job, when they find out you're a Christian, they will do all they can to go against you and to make things look rough and make you look bad because they're anti-Christians and they want to hurt you. That's why the Antichrist is going to be so destructive. So he knows that God's too powerful to a head-on attack, so he goes for the weakest link, and it's us. You can believe when all hell breaks loose, the source is Satan. But you know what he uses? You know what he usually uses to strike. We were talking at the prison the night, and something Patrick said really stuck in my head, and that was, you know, the angel of light. You know, Satan will come at you disguised as an angel of light. Well, Satan, he's the one pouring all the hell on you. But you know how he does it? Usually, he uses religion to strike you. With religion, I'm saying, hey, how many have ever heard this in your head, or somebody tell you this? If you were really a Christian, you wouldn't have said that. If you were really a Christian, you wouldn't have thought that. If you stood strong with God like you say you would, then you wouldn't have done that. Satan will use his own self. He'll talk to you in your head, but he uses somebody else to come up and say, if you were really serving God like you should, it'd be hunky-dory. I heard somebody the other day, a preacher saying, you know, when God's moving in your life, because everything's full of peace. And I said, well, if I go by that, God ain't moved in my life in quite some time. Amen. But you can complain that rose bushes have thorns, or you can rejoice that thorn bushes have roses. Amen, and we're in a fight. So watch this. This is exactly from this next verse, verse 4 and 1, could be written today. It could be today. It could be written about what's going on all over our land. Thank you, dear. That's awesome. Thank you, dear. That's so sweet. This is fine. I'll put it over here. Right here. Right here. So, for striking, okay, come here. There you go. Thank you, dear. That was sweet. Fellas, let me tell you something. Behind every good man is a woman propping him up, combing his hair, making him look good. That's right. And the best thing you can say when your wife's trying to help you is, thank you, hon. Thank you, hon. That was sweet. No, you're fine. You're fine. Okay. So the strike is religion. Here it is. This could be read from today's headlines. I'm going to tell you why in just a minute. Verse 1 says, and as they spake unto the people, they were preaching, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. Let me tell you something about the captain of the temple. The captain of the temple, there was actually Jews that were assigned to guard the temple. They were assigned to make sure that everything was kept right, and if anybody came in and made a fuss, they would take them out. Okay, so I want you to think about this now. So watch this. The priests were the leaders. The captain was the law, represented the law. And the Sadducees represented the liberals of the day. Did y'all hear that? The priests represented the leaders. Think about up in the Supreme Court now and up in the Congress where we tell people what we want and they do what they want to do anyway. Okay? Leaders. The law. They hide behind the law and the liberals of that day. And here's what happened. In verse 3, the Bible says that their movement was hindered. In verses 5 to 14, their motivation is questioned. And in 16 and 17, they say, don't you preach anymore in Jesus' name. Their message is threatened. Think about us now. After the Supreme Court made that decision about gay marriage, one of the judges said, if you're going to say anything about gay marriage against it, you better say it in the privacy of your own home. Because if you get outside and say it, you're going to be a bigot and we're going to get you. Now, you tell me that the priest and the captain and the Sadducees hadn't trying to stop our message today. Amen? Trying to stop us. Our movement is being hindered. Our emotions are being questioned. Who is this Jesus anyway? He's a God of love. He's a God of love. He wouldn't tell us that we couldn't do this stuff. And our message is threatened. You need to just be quiet about it. If you don't like what's going on, find another country. Guess what? It's time to wake up and smell the roses. If people really knew what was going on in this country, every church in this land would be so packed, you'd have to have 2 and 3 services a day. But we're quietly being led. It's like there was a guy was over visiting in Israel, and he saw this man walking behind the sheep, and the sheep were bellowing out, and the man was behind him with a switch, and they were going into a little barn. And the man said, I thought you said that the Oriental Shepherd, he loved his sheep. He says he does. He said, I thought you said he leads his sheep. He says he does. I said, I thought you said his sheep find quietness. He said they do. They said, well, this guy here, the sheep are squalling, and he's behind them with a switch, and they're going to this house. He said, oh, you got it all wrong. He said, that's not a shepherd. That's a butcher. That's a slaughterhouse. And that's what's happening to the American public. If we don't wake up, quit playing church, and get strong in God, we got a problem because we got the answer. So watch this now. Here we go. When you find yourself like that, what do? When you find yourself with all hell breaking loose, when you find your message being threatened, when you find yourself, you just can't move, when you find that the enemy's coming against you with everything he's got, he's bringing it down on you, he's hurting you through your children, hurting you through your work, hurting you any way he can. And then telling you you're not really a Christian, because if you had been, you wouldn't be having such a hard time. First thing you got to do is stand your ground. Come on, everybody. Stand your ground. Verse 18 says, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all in the name of Jesus Christ. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which I have seen and that we have heard. I'm here to tell you right now, they may try to shut my mouth and tell me I can't talk about Jesus anymore. They're going to have to cut out my tongue because I'm going to speak about Jesus Christ. Praise the Lamb of God. The Congress didn't redeem me. The Supreme Court didn't redeem me. Praise the Lamb of God. God sent Jesus and Jesus redeemed us. And He's coming back to get us. Praise the Lamb of God. You got to learn to stand your ground. Can I say it loud enough? Can I say it fast enough? Can I say it slow enough? You gotta learn to stand your ground. Amen. Now, watch this. Here's what happens. First, stand on the power of His name. The Bible says in verse 7 and in verse 8, it says, and when they set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day we be examined for the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even him does this man walk. Praise the Lamb of God. Let me tell you something. The leaders didn't mind religion because they enforced religion. This country doesn't mind religion. Matter of fact, you know what the Antichrist is going to do? The Antichrist is going to take Christianity and or you can say Christendom, probably in the form of the Catholic Church, but take Christendom and he's going to take Muslims and that's the two horns and he's going to put them together and make one religion out of it. How can you do that? The Christians wouldn't fall for the Muslim religion and the Muslims wouldn't fall for the Christian religion. How in the world can you do that? The Muslims believe in Jesus Christ. They just don't believe he's the Son of God. They believe he's a prophet. And so if you take Jesus, which is happening on churches all over this place and denominations everywhere, if you take the deity away of Jesus Christ, you can put Christianity and the Muslim religion together. And that is what is happening around us now. Don't let them take Jesus away from us. Come on, y'all. Don't let them take Jesus away from us. It's important. Acts 4 and 12 says, there's salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven which we must be saved. Number 2, don't just stand on the power of His name. Stand on the power of the resurrection. Verse 2 says, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Wow. Can you imagine these Sadducees talking about once you dead and gone, you dead and gone. And people believe in them until all of a sudden Jesus, who they saw crucified on a tree, Jesus who they saw the blood, every bit of blood left His body, the one that they saw taken down and put in the grave, that one is walking around. Talk about mess up somebody's religion. Can you imagine? Wow. Talk about mess up somebody's ideology. Well, once you're dead, you're gone. No. Jesus came back and showed us that, hey, there's something on the other side. It's even better than what's on this side. Praise the Lamb of God. Hold on to what you got. Stand your ground. If you even have to lose your life standing your ground, when you get to the other side, guess what's going to be over there? Oh, come on. Guess what's going to be over there? No more sickness, no more pain, no more heartache. Jesus Christ is going to be there to lead us into a promised land that you never could even believe. Amen. So the Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection, and His name was a constant reminder that religion kills and religion is unjust. But they stood on that premise, faith in both. They said, by our own holiness and power, you think we've done this? Those guys couldn't do it. So number one, stand your ground. Number two, and here's the hardest part. Here's what I see. This keeps us from standing our ground. This is what is happening in the church world today, what I'm getting ready to tell you. This is so powerful. I don't want you to think about it. Matter of fact, when I first say it, you might even shirk a little bit. If you're going to throw anything, make sure it's not canned. Benny and I talked about that, and Benny talked about that the other night. Look over here in verse 23 and 24. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted their voice to God with one accord, saying, Lord, Thou art God, who hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in there is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And he just goes on and on. I'm going to stop it right there for a minute. Number two, when all hell's pouring on you, gather to your own company. Let me ask you a question. How many's ever had a hard time at work or a hard time with your family and it says, oh, it's time to go to church? Well, I've been going through so much today, I don't think I'm even going to go to church. Well, it's been pretty tight this week. I'm really down. I mean, Sunday's coming around. I've been fighting. All hell's been breaking loose all week long. I'm just going to take the day and I'm going to sit around and like that song, Excuses. Hope some of the kin folk start dropping in. Not even realizing that Satan is quietly, methodically, and precisely stealing your power to stand. He's taking it away. Because you know where the power comes from? It comes from being with Jesus, but also being with Jesus' people. Because here, you ain't got to be in here to get saved. You can get saved out there. I had a lady one time come to my church, and they told me her husband told me, said, don't talk to her. I said, well, that doesn't sound good. He said, she don't like people. He just got saved about a month before. He said, I'm bringing her, but I'm having to bring her. Don't talk to her, preacher. I'm not kidding. You know how bad I felt going through shaking everybody's hands? At least I shook her hand. He said, don't say a word. Not a word. I said, okay. He was a fisherman, so he was only in every other week or so, and she was out when he was out and in when he was in. And when she came in, she would look at me like she could just chew me up and spit me out. I went by her and I said, Lord, I want to say something so bad. But he said, don't say anything to her. Like the whole church, nobody say anything to her. And finally, one Sunday, he was out and she came. And she said, I really enjoy, she grabbed my hand like I know I normally do. And I started to walk away and she grabbed me back and she pulled me. And she said, I really enjoyed service today. I said, that's awesome. And I kept on going because that's what he told me. Don't talk to her. Every time he'd see me, he'd say, well, my wife's coming. Don't talk to her. Honey, if I ever get to where nobody says, you tell people not to talk to me, go ahead and put me in a home or shoot me in the head or something, okay? No problem. She said, no problem. It don't help him. Oh, I look at my boys are about to go in. That's right. There's three of them. They're all going to look out for me. That's right. DC and Daniel said, we're going to know when to put you in a home, Dad, when you start acting grumpy. Act like somebody else in the family when it's time for you to be put away. Amen. Just y'all do it quick with a big bullet, okay? All right. The next Sunday, he was still out. She came again. She said, all by herself over here. Everybody else was on this side. And as I started preaching, I kid you not, she went, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, that loud. And we wouldn't rush to her, but all I could think about was her husband saying, I mean it, under no circumstances, don't talk to her. The more I preached, the more she'd go, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. And I wanted to go to her, but all I could hear was her husband saying, I mean it, don't go talk to her. I see people wanting to go over there, but the husband or somebody would take them. Finally, at the end of the service, she walked out, and I said, I can't stand it anymore. Husband, I know what you said, but the Holy Ghost is pricking my heart. I got to go talk to her. So I walked out, and I said, can I help you? What can I do for you? She said, I need Jesus. I need to be saved. And I said, well, let's go on in there. She says, no, I can't go in there. I said, I'm going home. You want to go with my wife and I and my kids? Because she had kids too. She said, okay. And I said, well, talk about it. You can ask me any question you want to ask me because I hadn't talked to her before. And so we're on the way, and her husband just came in after being gone for 2 weeks. She passes him on the road. I went, there you go, devil. They pull over and talk for a minute, and she gets back in the car and follows me. She told him, going home, she had something she had to do. She got in my house. And she said, I want to be saved. She said, but what about this confessing my sin? Have I got to stand up in front of church and confess everything I've ever done? I said, if you do, I'm sunk. If I can confess everything I've ever done, praise God. Ain't got that much time, yeah. And so I told her, I said, you know what? You ain't got to tell me anything. I said, all I do is tell him you're sorry. He knows all your sin. And right there on my living room floor. She said, but how will I know when I'm saved? I said, you'll know. She said, but how? I said, the weight will be lifted off your shoulders. And she said, but how will I know? I said, just trust me. And she prayed the sinner's prayer. She stood up and started crying. And she said, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. And I said, awesome. How do you know? She said, because I feel so light. And I said, good, I can't wait to get back to church. She says, shh, when we get back to church, let me sit in a pew and let me walk up and get saved there. She said, so it'll be official. So she came back that night, got down there and squalled and had a good time, praise God. And from that time on, every service, she squalled, but it wasn't because she was sad, it's because the Holy Ghost got a hold of her. Wound up being one of the best people that had ever been in that church. Amen. But you see, gather to your own. And watch this. So get ready. Get ready. Two important factors. One, did you know you can't discuss spiritual things with a carnal-minded man? Get ready. Don't raise your hands. But how many do it? You get your advice from your friend next to you at work that has no idea about Jesus. You're having a hard time in spiritual matters, and you send somebody, your great uncle or even your mom and dad, whoever, that has no idea about what's going on with God. You talk to them, and they get you all discouraged. That's why it's important that we gather together, because our faith is multiplied. If one will chase 1,000, two will put 10,000 to flight. Can you imagine what 50 will do? That's why camp meetings are so powerful. People come there expecting, and they come there, and their faith is multiplied, and great things happen. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, this is amplified, but the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept, nor welcome, or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God. For they are folly, meaningless nonsense to him, and he is incapable of knowing them, of progressively recognizing, understanding, and becoming better acquainted with them, because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. If that's what I tell people when I'm doing premarital counseling, that the seeds that you add in your life, one of the seeds is church. Because that's where you find, number one, you find a way to invest your life. Because that's where we invest our life. We find out here's where we can work. We need volunteers doing all kinds of things. Here you can work. But only you invest yourself. Here there's people of like problems. You can get together and you can talk. And you know what? I'm not talking to a carnal-minded man now. Now I'm talking to some friends and sisters and brothers in the Lord that's going through the same things I'm going through. And it's just awesome. Plus, I'm hearing the Word of God. I'm worshiping. Weren't the worship awesome this morning? The praise and worship. I mean, it was awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Number one, you can't discuss spiritual things with a carnal-minded man. The next time, I'm going to pray that God does this for you. And you can thank me later. Next time you're at work or in your family and you decide you're going to discuss spiritual things with a non-spiritual person, I'm going to pray that you get the Holy Ghost croup. You're going to be like John the Baptist's daddy. What happened? Well, you said it. Well, tell me that juicy gossip from the church. And you get in church and all of a sudden, hey, I can talk again. All right, number two. The devil will do anything to get us to the point of no unity in the body of Christ. They gathered in one accord for one purpose, and they prayed. You see, listen, they didn't talk about the problem. They talked to the problem. Y'all getting quiet? They didn't talk about the problem. They talked to the problem. They began to tell the problem about the God they serve. This is it. I'm closing. So you got... Eventually. Get ready. Verse 29. Here's where we miss it. Here's where so many people miss it and wonder why they're living such a powerless life. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, and stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Watch this. I found out something in my own personal life that's really awesome. I used to spend my time praying for release. God, release me from this problem. Release me from this heartache. Release me from this. And I found out that what I was doing is, it's like buying a gym membership and riding by and never going in. You know, or like getting that, what's that guy's name that just went into the oldies? Yeah. You know what you get when you take, when you mix Jack LaLanne with Tinkerbell? You get Richard Simmons. That's three I'll never use again. Okay. Okay. If you pray for release, you'll never get stronger. You pray for God to have his will and teach you what you need to know in this thing. Quit looking for a way out and start looking up. And that's what they did. Watch this. They prayed for staying fine. Here's the prayer. Number one, they prayed together. They're in one accord. The devil hates unity. Number two, they prayed aloud. The only way to pray the same thing is to pray aloud. You know, I remember when I first went in the Church of God, I got in there one day and they said, "Brother Anderson, will you please stand?" I'd been raised Baptist and I'd never even been in the Church of God. And I'm used to one guy getting up and praying for 30 minutes. And he got to, you know, and here he comes. And they said, Brother Anderson, will you please stand up and dismiss us in prayer?" And everybody stood up. And my wife tapped me, and so I stood up. And then everybody prayed. And I leaned over to my wife and I said, "Reckon how many Brother Andersons is in this place?" The only way to pray the same is to pray out loud. Then they praised God and acknowledged Him as Creator. And then they prayed His Word and acknowledged His authority. And I'm going to read that to you right now. Verse 24 and 25. They said, "And when they heard that, they lifted their voice to God in one accord and said, 'Lord, Thou art God. Thou hast made heaven, earth, and the sea, and all that in thee is, who by the mouth of David has said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The king of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ, for of a truth against Thy holy child, Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever Thy hand Thy counsel determined for to be done. Now behold their threatenings, and Lord, don't let us sit down and be quiet. Help us to stand up and do what we got to do." Amen. And then they presented their petition. They told God exactly what was going on in their life. You see, the last point, the very last one. After you pray for God to give you staying power, stay there in prayer until you get confirmation. You know how many times you go to prayer and you don't even wait for confirmation? You just kind of jump in and say, "Lord, I really don't have time to pray right now, so I'm just going to throw one at you. A drive-by." First, it requires dependence. God, we need Your trust. Then it requires determination. God, I'm not leaving until I feel that touch. I remember back in the day, sometimes the altar calls lasted longer than the service did. Because people made their mind up, "I'm not leaving God until I get a touch. I'm not leaving God until I feel a shaking inside of me. I'm going to reach out to You and I'm not going to move until I feel it." The Bible says, "And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word of God with boldness." We say, wait a minute, they got filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 3. Why were they filled again? I'll tell you very quickly. And very simply, get ready. I need a continual filling because I leak. I don't know about you, but I leak. Every day, going into battle, every day being hit from one side to the other, I find out that I actually got leaks in me. And so because I leak, I need to be filled constantly. You see, I leak, and what I did learn is I leak and Satan doesn't. Oh, come on, y'all. I'm closing. If y'all get louder, I'll really close. That's a promise. I need a continual filling because I leak and Satan doesn't. There's one baptism of the Holy Ghost, but many fillings. Why is there many fillings? It's because God wants to keep you fresh. I don't serve a dead, dried up God. You're serving a dead, dried up religion. I serve a powerful God that's fresh. This was the beginning of all hell breaking loose. This was the beginning. They didn't get beat yet. It's the next time things get rough. The beginning of all hell breaking loose. God's power, no matter how tough God or the devil gets, remember this, God's power is always more than enough. The Bible says where sin abound, God's grace did much more super abound. Let's all stand. Fellas, y'all come play something. Play some lively stuff. They haven't even got started yet. They just seen one miracle. Religion is already jumping down their throat. Satan's already hitting at them, thinking he can stop them. They refuse, and it gets worse and worse and worse. But every time, the Bible says the church grew mightily. Every time, the Bible says that the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit. God always gave them another filling. God always lifted them up and kept them fresh. It's amazing. This morning, first, everybody's bow your head for a minute. I want to ask a question. Is there anybody in here that would say, Pastor, I knew Jesus, but I let all this stuff you talk about get to me. And now I'm not sure if I know him or not. I'm not even sure if I'm ready. I have no idea. Could you pray for me with nobody looking around? You just pick your hand up and put it right back down. Nobody's got to see it. Would you say, you're talking to me, Pastor. I'm not even sure anymore. I just let it drift away. I can't let it drift anymore. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't even know him. And you say, Pastor, I really want to know him. Can you just lift that hand up and put it back down real quick? Then let me ask you this. You're ready for God to do something amazing in your life. You are ready. Ready for God to do something amazing in your life. To not just fill you, but to leave an expression within you that you're ready to stand and you're ready to fight the good fight. If I'm talking to you right now, I'm going to ask you, just come on, start making your way up here. God, I'm ready. I want to see something special take place. God, I'm ready. I'm tired of the same old. God, I'm tired of getting filled on Sunday and losing on Monday. I'm ready to see it. The blood has never lost its power. Jesus has never lost his power. Come on, y'all. Come on up. Come on up. Let's pray. God, I'm ready to see something. I'm ready to see something. I'm ready for you to do something in my life. I'm ready to go to the next level. I'm tired of living below my privileges as a child of God. I'm tired of living beat up and beat down by the devil. I'm tired of the mess. I'm ready to stand up and be counted. I'm ready to stand up and let the world know that I am not afraid to serve my God. Stand up. Stand up. Today is the day. Today is the day. You see it happening all around us. It's happening all around us. Every day is happening more and more and more. God, I'm ready. God, I'm ready. God, I'm ready. Turn it on. God, I am ready. I want to see a powerful, powerful move in my life. God, touch in the name of Jesus. God, touch in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. I thought you would turn it off. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. God, I'm ready to see a powerful move in my life. God, I'm ready to see something. God, I know hell has been unleashed in my life. Hell has been unleashed in my life. And I'm ready to stand up and take it back. I'm ready to stand up and make a fight. I'm ready to take a stand. I'm ready to stand up and be counted. I'm ready for the devil to look over here and say, wait a minute. I know when I mess with him, I'm messing with some tough stuff there. I want the devil to know that I mean business with God. I mean business with God. I mean business with God. Praise the Lamb of God. God, touch us right now. Lift us up, Lord. Help us, God. Help us, Lord. Help us, God. I'm ready. I don't want to play church. I don't want to play church. When I was a child, I did not like playing house. I thought it was crazy because everything you did was just pretend. And when you put your stuff back in the box, it was over. When you're playing church, it's the same thing. It just is pretend. God, I want the real thing. I want the real thing. God, I want to be full of your power and your anointing. God, I want to be full of what you've got for me, Lord. God, I want the world to know there are still some people that will stand their ground, that will say Jesus is the Christ, not afraid to speak his name. Praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory! 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory! It reaches to the lowest valley.
That gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its value. It reaches to the highest.
Thank you, Father.
To the lowest valley, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never
That's right.
lose.
Jesus, Jesus,
it will never lose. Oh, it will never lose.
Hold on just a minute. Hold on just a minute. I know y'all have heard this story before. Some of you have. Anton LaVey, the originator of the Satanic Church, the one that wrote the Satanic Bible, the one that wrote the Practices of Satanism, he was on a nationwide talk show in an arena or in an auditorium, and the announcer asked him, I think it might have been David Cavett, I'm not sure, but he asked him, what does the name Jesus mean to you? And Anton LaVey said, it means absolutely nothing. And about that time, an old Christian in the back, an old man, stood up in the back of that arena and started shouting to the top of his lungs, Jesus! 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 Anton LaVey lost his composure. They couldn't even talk to him anymore. They had to go to 15 minutes of commercials so he could calm down enough to even close out the show. Let me tell you something right now. Jesus. 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 When you've got nothing else to say, just say Jesus. When you have no other answer, just say Jesus. When the world tries to take him away, you still say Jesus. Yesterday, the delivery man came and brought me a cabinet we're going to use here at the church for the coffee thing. He was from Federal Express. And I said, I'm going to use this in the church to put the coffee maker on. He said, are you a pastor? I said, yes. He said, I'm a pastor too. And I said, awesome. He said, you know what I'm preaching on right now? I said, what? He said, I'm preaching on the book of Daniel, three Hebrew boys. First, I'm talking about not eating the king's meat. And then I'm going to talk about them. I'm going to talk about the dream. And then I'm going to talk about the fiery furnace. He said, that's the day we are living in. And I looked at him and said, preach it, brother, preach it. And then we got talking again. I told him, I said, this ain't about your church and my church. It's about God's church. We're all together in this thing. If we don't stand, we're going to sink. Praise the Lamb of God. Make a stand, make a stand, make a stand. Jesus has never lost his power. Sing it again.
To the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley.
Oh yes! Come on!
The blood.
Make a stand, church. Make a stand.
From day to day, it will never lose. It will never lose. It will never lose its power.
Look over somebody and give them a high five and say, Jesus is the reason. Jesus is the reason. It's not what thus saith the Supreme Court, it's what thus saith the Word of God. If we're not careful, I'm here to tell you, they're sneaking in. They're sneaking in. If they're not careful, by this time next year, if we're not careful, they'll be here legislating what we can say. You watch. Next year, this time, mark it. They'll be telling us what we can say. All right? Stand. Stand. Hold your ground. When all hell breaks loose, hold your ground. And right now, it's subtle. Like with those guys, it was subtle. It was the very first time. Matter of fact, some people didn't realize all hell was breaking loose because it was the first time and it didn't beat them. But it got worse and worse and worse. You watch what's getting ready to happen in this nation. It's going to get worse and worse unless we trust the Lord and stand up. Amen? Anybody tell God's looking good today? With the exception of a couple of you. No, all of you looking good. Come back tonight. I'm going to talk about Paul and how they tried to stop Paul. And when they locked him up, how they tried to stop him, but what God did through him while he was locked up. Wow, some powerful stuff. Praise the Lord. I usually go over here and get these two and say, Brother Baker dismisses in prayer and let them pick. But now I'm going to do it over here. Brother Richards. one of y'all just the elder, go ahead, elder.